are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thanks again for making Locked On Brewers your first listen every day. Again, we post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. And I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there where you can see I cover the Brewers here. I cover the Braves at tomahawktake.com, which is going to come in very handy for this series in the NLDS. I also cover the AA South for Prospects 1500 and the Birmingham Barons for Southside Sox. So writing about baseball and a lot of different places. Certainly, obviously, love the game of baseball. Love talking Brewers here on Locked On Brewers. And joining me to do that is my co-host, Benny Rattino. You can follow him on Twitter at Benny Rattino and catch him as part of the pre and post game show for Bally Sports Wisconsin this postseason. And also make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. Again, want to thank you for all the support you give me throughout the entire season, getting geared up and ready for what should be a very fun postseason for the Milwaukee Brewers. I think they got a really good team, really good chance to win it all. I think me and Vinny both agree there. So should be a lot of fun this postseason. Excited to be talking about it. And we will be talking about it on this podcast. We'll be going over our predictions for the roster. Always fun to do. And then we'll be talking about some of the strengths and weaknesses for this Brewers team heading into the postseason. And then tomorrow we'll be breaking down the Braves and then getting more into that matchup leading up to Friday's game one. Before we do all of that, let me remind you about our friends at Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, Benny, let's start with the roster prediction here. And let's start with the offensive side of things. I think, you know, pretty clearly your starters are Omar Narváez at catcher, Rowdy Tellez at first base. That could be a bit questionable depending on his health. Colton Wong at second, Eduardo Escobar at third, Willie Adames at short, Christian Yelich at left, Lorenzo Cain in center, and Avisel Garcia in right field. Do you disagree with any of those starter positions right there? You think those are your main starters? Obviously, matchup could be dependent with Tellez, but I think, you know, against a righty, which they'll face in game one against Morton, I think those are probably your starters right there.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, obviously you're missing Luis Urias in that lineup. You're missing Tyrone Taylor in that lineup. Obviously you're missing Manny Pena in that lineup, who's really come on in the second half, but you can only start one catcher. And it's just a problem of too much depth, right, for the Brewers at multiple positions. But yeah, I mean, I do think that is your A lineup. For, you know, considering defensively, I do think that is your best lineup as well. But then also offensively, obviously, you'd love to get Tyrone Taylor in there and Luis Urias in there. But you're a little bit like kicking yourself that you can't get those guys in the lineup, in your A lineup, but it's like we've talked about many times, a good problem to have for the Brewers at this point, but I do think that's the lineup they'll go with.
Yeah, and then, you know, touching on the bench, and you mentioned several guys there, Manny Pena, Daniel Vogelbach, Luis Urias, Tyrone Taylor, Jackie Riley Jr., and Jace Peterson. I think they'll carry an extra bench bat. They did last year, obviously a different type of series, and you had the DH last year, but I think they will carry six men on the bench. I think having Jace Peterson on there, for me, JBJ and Jace Peterson, if you were going to go with a five-man bench, those would be the two I'd be debating between. I think ultimately it'd probably go to JBJ for the late-game defensive replacement for Avisel Garcia. But I think having Jace Peterson in there is very important too, for what he can bring, his versatility, what he can bring to the game. I think it's very important that he's included on the roster as well. I know he's kind of cooled off a little bit as of late, but You agree with that bench, going with the six-man bench and those six players there, Vinny?
Yeah, absolutely, especially knowing that you can stick one of the starters, one of the five, not counting Brett Anderson, obviously, either Hauser or Lauer, whatever they decide to go with in terms of who's going to be in the bullpen. You can stick one of those guys out in the bullpen, and that adds another leverage bullpen arm. So, yeah, I mean, I think definitely you go with the more robust bench there with the six guys.
And then moving to the pitching side of things, I think we're both in agreement here that it's going to be Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, and then if they use a four starter, it would be Eric Lauer. Do you still agree with that, Vinny, or do you think it will be Hauser in a potential game four?
I'm on the Lauer train. Obviously, I really, really like Adrian Hauser and what he's been able to do and how he's been able to grow as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. But Lauer at this point is the guy that you have to go with. I heard, so just to throw a little wrench in here, just for the sake of the podcast, I have heard an interesting little take. I forget who I heard it from. Maybe it's just a buddy of mine or something, that perhaps they consider, and they won't, but perhaps they consider a Freddy Peralta situation going to the pen and being the eighth inning guy now that Devin Williams is out. And then obviously you have the four starters with Eric Lauer and then Adrian Hauser. I they're not going to do that. I just thought that was an interesting idea worth talking about.
Yeah. And I've thought about that as well, just because, you know, Peralta with the injury, you know, he's kind of been a little back and forth, you know, here lately. I thought about that potentially, not really because of Devin Williams. I was thinking about it before then, but I think that kind of takes away your leverage, your advantage that you have over the Braves with having three dominant starters in those three, because I mean, the Braves in their own right. And again, we'll break down them a little bit more on Wednesday's podcast, but I mean, they have two very good starters of their own at the top and Charlie Morton and Max Fried that, you know, while not as good as Burns and Woodruff, can certainly, you know, match them on any given day. And I think that, you know, advantage comes in that third game, having somebody like Peralta who can dominate for five or six innings going up against Ian Anderson, who, you know, a good pitcher, you know, but not nearly as good as the top two in either rotation. So, and again, I mean, Lauer's been just as good too. So, I mean, again, it's kind of like with the lineup situation, it's a good problem to have. I could see that making some sense, but I just think Freddy Peralta, the upside of having Freddy Peralta pitch five or six shutout innings, you know, outweighs what you would get from him in potentially a one inning stint. But I don't know. That's kind of a good pivot though. So let's go to the bullpen here and talk about it, because the more I start to look at these bullpen names, the more the Devin Williams situation is really bothering me here, Vinny. I mean, at first I thought, well, you know, Boxberger just slides up in there. You know, you got some good names behind that can get the job done. You feel pretty confident about Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, you know, giving you at least, you know, five or six good innings, if not more, so that you don't have to tax that bullpen too much. But now you're counting on guys like, you know, Aaron Ashby, who, you know, has big upside there, but still a little bit of an unknown. Brent Suter, Hunter Strickland, maybe Jake Cousins if he comes back. I don't know that I have complete confidence in any of those guys in a big situation in the sixth or seventh inning, Vinny. I mean, maybe you feel better about it than I do, but suddenly this bullpen without Devin Williams to me seems a little bit shaky after Hader and Boxberger.
I'm going to push back a little bit on that, because I do think Hunter Strickland's been giving them really, really quality innings all year long. I mean, he's kind of been the guy that's coming into the games with inherited runners on base after the starter leaves, after like five and a third or six and a third, whatever the case may be, just to kind of get the starter out of a jam. And he's done a phenomenal job of that all year long. You know, he's kind of run into the, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals and what their wrecking crew, those last couple outings that we did see him. But I think he's been there, done that. He's been in these types of situations, high leverage, high stress, playoff type situations. I do have trust in him to kind of get through those bridge innings. I do think after that, I would go Ashby in terms of confidence level. I still love Ashby. I just think, you know, until he gets an inning in the playoffs underneath his belt, I do think we're just going to kind of be wondering how he's going to perform in those situations. I think he'll be fine. I have a ton of confidence in the kid. I can't believe how mature and, you know, low pulse this kid is and how he can execute in first stint in the big leagues as well as he has. So I do think he'll be fine. I just think, you know, I think they're going to be relying on those four guys quite a bit in the playoffs here. I think Jake Cousins is a little bit of a wild card in terms of, I mean, is he even back? I know he's been hurt. So, you know, he's really having trouble throwing strikes there at the end as well, or towards, you know, pretty much all of September. So I think they're going to rely heavy on those four guys that I just named out of the bullpen. And, you know, hopefully they can get her done. I do have a lot of comments. I mean, it's a spoils of riches. What's that saying? Riches, whatever it is, they're spoiled, right? With all these names. I mean, we just named four dudes. I mean, take Hader out of it. I mean, three dudes that have been performed really well this year out of the bullpen pretty consistently. Obviously Ashby as of late, but they're pretty good names right there that I just named. And I think those names can get them through some tough innings here in the playoffs.
Something I mentioned on a podcast I was on the other day, you know, Council hasn't changed in his strategy with Hader all year long. He's been a one inning, ninth inning guy. Do you think that changes with Devin Williams out? Do you see Hader potentially getting a two inning save or getting four or five outs at this point? I think you kind of have to, especially if, you know, Freddie Freeman comes up in the eighth inning with the game on the line. I think you have to go to Hader there.
I don't think so. Not until the World Series. It's a long month. Not to continue to push back on you, Jake, but that's what makes for an interesting podcast. A lot of disagreeing here. Once you get to the World Series, I think it's a different story, but I think you have to kind of just continue to do what has been successful all year long. I've seen Josh Hader in the past when he's gone multiple innings, he's down for two days, right? I mean, this year they got him on a good regime or a good regimen. They got him on a good schedule. He was throwing up to three days in a row when it was a safe situation. Saw him up to 98 the other day, third day in a row. It's pretty rare, right? I mean, for a closer to go 3 days in a row and hold his stuff all 3 days. So I do think that that is important that he holds his stuff. And you just kind of got a bridge to him. You got to somehow figure it out, try to get a bridge to Josh Hader. And it really becomes an eight inning game. I mean, it's hard to say and believe that the dude has gotten that much better because he's been so good the last 4 years of his career. He is that much better this year. It's even hard to see on the numbers because the numbers look pretty similar, but take a look at some of the things that he's done this year. It's actually incredibly remarkable. Doesn't give up home runs anymore. I mean, he throws three pitches for strikes now. The whiff rate, I mean, all these metrics, it's off the charts. He's the best closer in baseball. He's untouchable. I mean, so just got a bridge to Hader somehow, some way. I do think that I see your point, Jake. And I agree with you. I don't want to see Freddie Freeman come up with runners on base in the eighth inning. And then, you know, have to bring in Brad Boxberg or something like that. But man, I just think you just got to keep doing what you've been doing with Josh Hader.
Yeah, it could depend on the series too. I mean, if they're down in the series or up in the series, you know, obviously if you're down, you got to put your best pitcher out there, give yourself the best chance to win. But yeah, I mean, I understand the idea of, you know, not rocking the boat, what's been working all year, but I don't know. I just think Devin Williams' situation has really thrown a wrench in this more than I would like to admit that it has, but I hope that I'm wrong. In that, you know, hopefully Boxberger, Strickland, Suter, Ashby can get it done. I'm just a little less confident in that now. But going back to the roster prediction, as far as bullpen arm goes, I think Hauser's a lock, Ashby, Suter, Strickland, Boxberger hater. I know Cousins did pitch over the weekend in AAA, so I think if he's ready, I think he is part of that bullpen as well. But there's one other spot left out there I have no idea what they're going to do with. And honestly, it's kind of arrogant to say, I don't know that it matters, because like you kind of mentioned, I think they're going to lean on those. They're going to lean on Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Lauer, you know, Ashby, Suter, Strickland, Boxberger, Hader. They're going to lean on those nine pitchers unless something just goes completely haywire. So I don't know what they do with that last bullpen spot. I kind of think it's Daniel Norris, but I don't love that. Maybe throw it to Brett Anderson in case a game does get out of hand and you let Anderson, you know, eat an inning or two. Any lean, Vinny, on what they do with that last bullpen spot?
Probably Norris. I don't think it's Brett Anderson. I mean, unless he's like willing to be like, look, I'll blow it out, try and touch 95. The pen. But I don't know if he's even capable of that. He could very well be. We've seen him up to 92 as a starter, and he's kind of nice and easy. I don't think they're going to experiment in any way, but probably Norris. I mean, Miguel Sanchez could be an option. Mm-hmm. He's been really kind of just okay all year long. I know he started off really hot. He's given them really good innings, especially considering that they were throwing out Yardley and Josh Lindblom early on in the season. So he was kind of a breath of fresh air, but he's just been okay. But I think if you're going to go with him, you might as well just go with Brett Anderson. I don't know. I'm leaning towards Norris on this.
It gives you another lefty. If somebody does, you know, leave early in the game and you got a big at bat, you know, with Freeman up or Eddie Rosario up, then I guess it gives you another lefty to use. But I mean, you also have Ashby out there, Suter, who's a lefty, you know, obviously Hader himself, but I think they probably do take Daniel Norris, just another lefty. Like I said, in case, you know, middle innings, you don't want to use one of your best relievers, but you do want to get one of the Braves' good lefties out, then you could potentially go to Norris there. So that's our roster prediction. Again, we'll see in a couple days what Craig Counsell decides to go with, but good discussion there. Again, a really good situation for the Brewers to have. There's a lot of names, good names to choose from for the bench and for, you know, those starting pitching spots, that four starter spot, as well as some of the back end situations there. Again, I am a little concerned without Devin Williams, but Vinny's trying to bring me back up and he's being very argumentative today, which is not nice, but good for the podcast.
Hold on. Let me just make it clear that I'm also very just not feeling pretty very good about Devin Williams not being with the team. But I just think they have a number of arms that can kind of step up.
They can handle it a lot better than other teams could. I will definitely agree with that. And I still feel better about the Brewers bullpen situation than the Braves. But losing Williams, that's definitely, you know, going to be noteworthy. We'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about these strengths and weaknesses and strengths for the Brewers going into the postseason. As I mentioned at the top, this episode is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days. It's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So I worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store, just hoping they have the parts you need. When you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket, you can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model, any kind of auto part that your car will need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobiles these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle, and do us a favor, write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Vinny. So I wanted to just quickly touch on some of the biggest weaknesses and strengths for this Brewers team. I definitely think there's more strengths than weaknesses, but there are some things I'm concerned about. We already touched a lot on one of those and not having Devin Williams. I think that could become a bigger loss than maybe I originally thought it would be. But some other weaknesses for me, and we'll start with the weaknesses because I like my bad news first. The offense at times concerns me, and the fact that they haven't really played together a lot here lately. I mean, if everybody's in the lineup and healthy, I really love this offense, but we just haven't seen that a ton lately. And I'll just go ahead and give you my other weakness as well. I don't know if really this is a weakness as more as it just is a concern. It's just coming into this game kind of rusty. I mean, the Brewers have not won a lot of games here lately, and I know they've pretty much been meaningless games, but have not, you know, after other than sweeping the Mets, haven't won a lot of games here in the last couple of weeks. And again, players injured, coming in and out of the lineup, trying to get rest for guys. You know, we talked about that discussion of rust versus rest. You know, I believe the guys will be ready to go, but I mean, still that is at least a concern for me. I wouldn't call it a weakness, but those are kind of the three things for me that concern me the most for the Brewers, Vinny, going into this series, is that offense hasn't exactly been clicking on all cylinders lately. You know, not having Devin Williams and then just potentially being a little rusty. I mean, we're 4 days off going into the game on Friday. And I mean, really, the Brewers haven't played a game that meant anything in over 2 weeks. So, and you got guys like Woodruff and Peralta who haven't pitched in nearly 2 weeks going into that series. So that concerns me a little bit. But any of those concern you, or any other, you know, weaknesses, concerns for this Brewers team you have, any?
So at the end of the day, all these teams are going to kind of be off, right, for a number of days and not play a competitive game, except the, obviously, the Dodgers and the Cardinals. But like the Braves are going to be kind of in the same boat, no matter how well they've been playing before this little break. It's still a break, right? And you just don't know how a team's going to bounce back. It takes no more than a day, right? You have a day off after a hot streak. It is a different feeling once you toe the rubber or get back in that batter's box. It's a different feeling. You feel like you got to rev it back up as a team to get back to those winning ways. Now, I'll say that the opposite is true as well for, like, you know, not playing well. Teams will kind of hit the reset button when they have a little bit of an extended, you know, off time. Even a day of a day off literally will hit that reset button. So I will say that doesn't concern me quite as much. You wouldn't be human if you didn't kind of understand that they were not playing well, right? I mean, they got swept by the Dodgers pretty handily. And then obviously lost 2 of 3 against the Cardinals. So, I don't feel good about that. I also agree with you. I don't feel good about where the offense is at this point in time. However, I will say you just need a couple of runs, right, to scrape across the board. And Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta will take care of the rest, and Josh Hader, right? So that's kind of the idea. And I think they know that. So I think there's a level of comfort there with that. The last thing I'll say is the weakness that they don't have, that they have, right, is they don't have that lineup anchor. They don't have the version of Christian Yelich that we've come to know and love, right, of that 1,000 OPS guy. They don't have that guy. They haven't had him all year. They've done it through manufacturing runs with quality at-bats, baton passing, right? So, you know, I will say the Dodgers don't have that either, right, with Cody Bellinger not being Cody Bellinger. So they've kind of done it similar ways. So, yeah, that's their one weakness, in my opinion. They don't have that lineup anchor, that feared bat, that Mike Trout, that, you know, take your pick of MVPs, right, that Shohei Ohtani, whatever. They don't have that guy this year. So Willy Adames is close, but he's just not that at that level yet.
Yeah, that's a great point you make there. I was actually listening to a Braves podcast on Monday, kind of gearing up for this series. And that was kind of, you know, that's where they were kind of pointing to as one of the biggest weaknesses for the Brewers is their offense. And the point they made is that, you know, when Willy Adames is your leader on offense, that doesn't really strike a lot of fear into the other team. And, you know, obviously Willy Adames has been great this year. I mean, 20 home runs you know, an 880 OPS. I mean, he's done wonders for this team. We all know how important he's been. And a lot of people were, trying to throw him in the MVP conversation before he got injured. But I mean, like you said, he's not really that lineup anchor like an MVP type Christian Yelich would be. But where I think there are, and kind of transitioning to over to the strengths a little bit of this team, I think there are guys up and down the lineup, which, you know, may not be those lineup anchors, but up and down the lineup, there are guys that can get it done for you every night. I mean, again, Adamas leads the team with an 886 OPS, Avisel Garcia at 820, Rowdy Tellez at 814, and Eduardo Escobar at 800. I mean, that's all, really good production right there. And then you got Urias at 789, Colton Wong at 783, Tyrone Taylor, 778. Those are really solid numbers. It's not anything great. It's not your 900 or 1,000 OPS guys that some teams will have there. But I mean, up and down, 1 through 8, you essentially have players that can get it done on any given night. And so, yes, the offense does concern me just because of late, you haven't really been getting that production. I think some of that has to do with health. Some of it has to do with rust. Adamas, Garcia, Tellez have been banged up here over the last couple of weeks. And I think that's a contributing factor to that, because like I just mentioned, those are three of their, top hitters OPS wise. Them being banged up is certainly a concern. But if all of them are in the lineup and clicking, then you really have, a solid lineup of hitters 1 through 8 that can get it done. Somebody asked me on the podcast I was on the other day is what, one of your biggest concerns, and it was Christian Yelich, because he has a 736 OPS. I don't know what I'm going to get out of him. He could all of a sudden break out and carry this Brewers team to the World Series, or, he continues to do what he's done all year. And yeah, that's, have a single here and there, draw some walks here and there, but not much power, which is really what you want from him. But so while I am concerned about the offense, I do think there's ability there for them to be very deep and very good at times. But moving to the strengths, starting pitching is an obvious strength with Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta. Maybe the best rotation all of baseball. I certainly think so. I think you have two guys in Woodruff and Burns that are easily going to finish top 10 in the Cy Young. I think Burns ultimately wins it. Peralta's been just as good. He has, struggled a little bit here as of late and been banged up a little bit, but that starting pitching is their strength. It's going to need to be their strength. Again, with Devin Williams going down, you're going to need these guys to go 6 or 7 innings in these games and be the dominant starters that they've been all year. I put down Josh Hader as a strength, kind of what you were talking about earlier, Vinny. I think he's the best relief pitcher in the game, and it's quietly maybe having his best year yet. So that's a definite strength. I mean, you get to that ninth inning with the lead and you feel pretty confident that you're going to hold on to that and get the win. I put energy. I think this team's played with a lot of energy this year. Again, you haven't seen that much the past couple of weeks just because they've kind of been in cruise control. But I think having Willy Adames healthy, and I've been talking about that for weeks now, I think having him healthy is going to be huge, and hopefully he is healthy, because he does bring that energy. He does provide that spark that really gets everybody else playing up. So having that will be a huge strength. And then up the middle defense, even Narvaez behind the plate has been solid this year, but Adames up the middle, Colton Wong up the middle, Lorenzo Cain up the middle defense, I think is going to play a huge role in this series. The corners are questionable for sure. There's no denying that. But up the middle, they'll be very sound defensively. So, Vinny, those are some of my strengths. What are some of your strengths for this Brewers team and why they win in the postseason?
Man, yeah. So starting pitching is number one, right? So there's a level of comfort there with that group toeing the rubber every single night, because, again, it gives your team a chance to win. So even if you get down, like, 2-0 in the second inning, you really have a feeling of comfort and reliability, and whoever's on the mound that's going to keep you there, keep you at that, gave up a couple of runs, gave up 2-run homer right there, but that guy's going to bear down, whether it be Woodruff, Burns, Peralta, he's going to bear down and just kind of cruise through, you know, 5-6 innings. We've seen it all year. Obviously, they got to go out and do it in the playoffs, but we've seen it pretty much all year, pretty consistently, to kind of give that quality start, allow the team to come back, allow the team a chance to win. So I don't see anything there that is going to change that. I love what you just said about the energy, the ability to kind of like get up for opponents. They've played really well against some really good teams this year, especially early. Some of these teams in the NL West, they played really, really tough, like the Dodgers, like the Giants, obviously the Padres, who turned out to be pretty crappy, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, it's the starting pitching. It's the defense overall. I think the defense up the middle, like you said, really has really, really improved since last year. I mean, and Omar Narvaez has continued to get better behind the plate, lead the staff. You got, obviously, Willie Adames playing shortstop, Colton Wong at second. I mean, it's a Gold Glove tandem right there up the middle. You got two Gold Glove center fielders. If you do need to substitute Jackie Bradley Jr. in late, you know, whatever the case may be with Lorenzo Cain, obviously Lorenzo Cain can play, will be the center fielder all through the playoffs as long as he stays healthy. But JBJ can move to a corner. Outfield defense is going to be important in this series. I think what the metrics is finding, that outfield defense is just super important overall. So I do think Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to come up bigger than we think he's going to come up in this series. At least he's going to have an opportunity to. So I do think the defense is going to be a major factor in the playoffs as well. So they've got it. I mean, again, complete team. They don't really have a weakness other than what we talked about from the standpoint of they don't have a MVP type of producer this year. But again, it's not really that much of a weakness considering that they have a bunch of guys over 800 OPS. There's no real out in the lineup to get. Talked about Christian Yelich being the lowest OPS guy in the lineup, but he's still getting on base. He's still coming up with some clutch hits at times. So, man, I really like the chances for the Brewers. Again, I think people kind of soured on their chances to win it all. But I think once Friday hits, not going to be an easy series against the Braves. They can obviously get through that series. Then obviously the next challenge at hand. I mean, again, I think they match up better in a longer series just because the depth of that starting pitching staff is going to play better in a 7-game series as opposed to a 5-gamer. So get through the Braves and then go from there. But I think they have as good a shot as any team in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, a true statement. I do think teams or people are starting to sleep on the Brewers a little bit here. But I mean, again, we go over it. There's not a ton of weaknesses in the team at this time, other than self-inflicted weaknesses of Devin Williams punching a wall. But again, I think it's a very good team. I think certainly have what it takes to win a World Series. So we'll take one more break and then we'll come back and wrap things up. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron, except for here, where we're still focused on the Major League Baseball postseason. But teams are back on the gridiron to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action of this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So, Vinny, the only real news item we got on Monday was the game times were set for the first two games. And as a lot of people were predicting, the Brewers will get the afternoon game on Friday. They'll start at 3:37 p.m. Central on Friday in game one, and then they'll start at 4:07 p.m. Central on Saturday for game two. Vinny, any thoughts on the start time? You going to be ready and gearing to go for those afternoon games?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely will be locked in. If not, able to watch it at that time, I'm definitely going to be watching a replay of it. So do not tell me what happened.
Yeah, no spoilers. You have to stay off Twitter. But yeah, go ahead and get your work notices in if you need to. Have that afternoon game on Friday. So definitely be hoping to leave work a little early to sit down and watch all of that game. Should be a lot of fun. Sure, we'll have some more news, some actual roster updates coming throughout the week. We'll be talking about all of that. Like I said, we'll be breaking down the Braves on Wednesday and then getting into the matchup a little bit more on Thursday, giving you our preview and predictions leading up to game one on Friday. Well, that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.